You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
The Draft Room, presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Correnti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Great, man. We have real life football this weekend.
You say new girl?
I said we have real life football this weekend.
Oh, I was about to say. I'm like, we're in this season?
Weirdly enough, my girlfriend is watching New Girl right now as we speak right in the room over. Like at this moment, so that's weird. But
if there's a television in the house, there's like a 65%.
It's literally The Office, Parks and Rec, or New Girl, just in steady rotation.
All safe bets.
Well, randomly, Always Sunny mixed in. But that's it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, on today's show, we're going to be doing a little bit of a two-round Superflex rookie mock draft, even though we're through most of rookie mock season. There's still some rookie drafts going on, and it's fun to revisit how things are different from early on in the offseason. So before we get into that, just a quick reminder, this is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed totally ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a 5-star rating and check out our written content over at si.com/NFL/draft. So without further ado, let's get right into the rookie mock. Eric is going to kick us off with the 101. Feel free to go chalk or feel free to go nuts, Eric. What
Eric,
do you got?
Eric, don't be a coward.
It's between him and Justin Fields, so I think I have to do it. Yeah, I'll take Mac. I love to say that. Yeah. It's that type of day. It's that type of day. He spelled his name right. McCorkle. That's great. On the day that Mac wins the job. Yeah, I'm taking him. Look, man, he just looks good. Just looks really good. And I trust it. It really is between him and Fields for me. I would give some thought to the other guys. But, like, Lawrence was my QB1. Fields was my QB2. I'm just worried about the Jags when it comes to Lawrence. I'm just overall nervous, even though I still believe in his talent. Obviously, I'm just a little on him. If Ryan didn't call me a coward, I probably would have went Justin Fields. But he called me a coward, so I went McCorkle. Welcome to the draft.
All right, so Mac Jones 101. Ryan, who are you taking at 102?
Damn. So convention says Lawrence or Fields, and I know that's what I should do, but I'm not. I'm picking Najee. Like, his role in that Pittsburgh offense is locked. He's a legit bell cow, which you don't see in the NFL anymore. If we were doing a startup draft, he would go 6 rounds ahead of them, maybe not that far, maybe like 4, which is very significant. But because it's a rookie draft, we feel like we have to take the quarterback here. So I'm taking Najee because his receiving is outstanding. We saw what he could do going to get the ball, make guys miss open field. We know he has the power. He's a complete package. And getting somebody this young, it locks me in with a starting running back for 4 years, which is past my 3-year bubble, which I'm comfortable with in fantasy.
All fair points, and we're totally off the rails because I was figuring I was going to take Najee at 103. With the third pick, I feel like I'm almost left no choice but to take Trevor Lawrence. It would be fun to see how much further we can let him fall, but I'll take Trevor Lawrence at 103. I do have some of the same concerns Eric mentioned about just kind of dysfunction surrounding the Jags, which I think is funny because there was a lot of talk during the season like, oh, if the Jets get the first overall pick, Trevor should go back to school.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking, I'm like, oh, he dodged the Jets. It's great. The Jets are the better situation.
Yeah. For so long, it was, oh, he should just go back to school and not declare if the Jets get the first overall pick. Meanwhile, the The Jags look like a bit of a mess, but the talent's there. We know the highly touted prospect he is, and hopefully he can overcome. But with the third pick in round one, I can't let him get much further than that. So,
and he's like, I'm not bitter about this.
I love that you did that.
We have the receipts.
It's Urban Meyer, man. Like, you have veterans on the team complaining about him already.
He scares me, man.
I saw Trevor Lawrence get the living crap kicked out of him in the preseason with no line play and just get pounded. I'm legit worried about it. I know he's so talented and he has good weapons, but if you have no line and a psychopath head coach, those rails can come off really quick. And the way that line looks, it can go all David Carr.
Yeah.
Really could. I'm not saying it could. I pray to God it doesn't. But if you get a quarterback getting sacked 40, 50 times as a rookie, that has long-term effects. And that's a serious concern for me. Am I going to let him fall farther than this? No. But
there is more legitimate concerns than I think anybody was really bringing up when we were doing rookie drafts, you know, April, May.
It's not as much of a lock right now. The real life's kicked in.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Eric, you're back up at 104.
Yeah, I'm taking Fields. Yeah, I was going to take him 101. I'll take him here.
Got the double dip.
Yeah, he was my QB2 coming out, and I just think he's – oh, my God. Yeah, he's got to have such a chip on his shoulder. First he should have been QB2 in the draft. Then he falls all that way. And now he has to sit behind, I can't swear again, I was going to say B.A. Andy Dalton. I'll let you fill in what that stands for. But Justin Fields, when he hits the field, is going to, oh, my God, he's going to hit the field with his hair on fire. So, I'll take Fields at 104. He's going to be so damn good.
His hair will be on fire. Your mouth will be on fire from the pepper.
My mouth will be on fire because his hair is not on fire in week one. Darn it. Stupid Bears. Stupid Bears. Hey, to everyone on Twitter, I apologize for the Bears starting Andy Dalton. It's my fault. All right. The Bears know that Eric has to eat a gosh dang pepper in week one. So they're like, no. I don't care what the people on Twitter say. We have to make Eric eat that pepper. And then week two, he'll start. So I apologize, Twitter. It's my fault.
Seems rational. Yeah, it does.
Very rational. It's plausible. That's the case.
All right, Foss, you're back up. What do we got?
I was debating trying to break this draft and gotten a little bit off the rails. But I love Zach Wilson. I can't not take him here. He looks so good. We talked about him last week. He's making incredible throws already. He looks poised. He's gelling with that team. I finally leave the Jets hit on a quarterback. I'm all in on Zach Wilson. And he's a surprise of a lot of people this year.
Sure.
I agree. I love to hear that. It brings me great joy. All right, so
everything except for your running back.
It's we're in a weird spot because, like, I don't know. Like, I have what my head wants to do and what my heart wants to do. I'm going to take Jamar Chase here because I still believe in the player and the prospect that Jamar Chase is. I'm not overreacting to some preseason drops. It hasn't been a great offseason or a great preseason process for Chase. But he, I think, will show when the lights are on and when we're playing on Sundays. He's not a guy that people are knocking him now for, you know, he's not a great separator. But wasn't a great separator in college either. Like, it's, you know, he dominated SEC competition as a young player. And I think on Sundays, we'll see Chase kind of shake some of the rust off as he's continued to do in the preseason and round out and be the player we hope that he could become.
I was too harsh on Chase last week. I will come right out and say that. Listen to the episode back. I'm like, oh, that's a little too harsh. I tried to sugarcoat it. I couldn't do it. I apologize to Mr. Jamar Chase. But all right. What is this?
107.
And Trey Lance Stone. Well. Look, man, I'm the poster child for advocating for this QB class, so I have to take Trey Lance. I believe in all five. I'm not moving off that. And I know everyone's like, oh, but that never happened. Somebody's got to bust. You know what? I'm an optimist, so stop saying it. I believe in all five. I believe in all five. It'll come to fruition.
We can use some optimism.
Yeah, I just want it to happen so those people can disappear. Oh, that never happens. Get out of here.
Can you imagine the universe? Like, what if out of these five, the only one that doesn't hit is Trevor Lawrence?
I hope it happens. No, no, that's mean. Oh, that's so mean. But oh my
Urban
God,
Meyer should go to prison.
Yeah, we call the police on Urban Meyer if it happens. He goes directly to jail.
No, he'll retire for 2 years and coach over at Bishop whatever.
Yeah, Bishop Sycamore.
He'll go coach Bishop. Get Sycamore.
You know, perfect. When they release him after this season, that those tweets are just going to pour in. He's got a new head coaching gig.
100%. All right, Foss, that puts you back up at 108.
I'm taking Kyle Pitts here. I mean, he's locked into everybody's tight end. It's top five, top six right now. He's going to be their number two target. He's going to get volume right away. He's already shown in the NFL against top-tier talent, maybe not top-tier, but second stringers, but NFL talent, that he still makes plays, and it makes him very easy. The guy's a beast. There's a lot of questions after this, and I'm taking a safe pick, which sounds really weird, taking first-round tight end. And Eric said he's going to have the number five greatest season tight ends ever had this year.
Number eight.
So,
number eight.
Ever, not just rookie. So I believe what that is.
I don't remember what number it was, but I know we were pushing Ditka aside. Step aside, Mike Ditka, Kyle.
Mike Ditka. Don't bring up Mike Ditka. Is he the fastest tight end we've ever seen? Is 4.44 40 the fastest we've ever seen?
Didn't Vernon Davis run faster?
Vernon Davis flew. He was like 4.3s.
Yeah, if I remember, it was like high 4.3s. Yeah, I could be wrong.
4.38.
I tell you what, though.
Is he second?
Preseason or not, he looked fast on that catch and run. And that, he looked fast. That is a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem in the open field. And I can tell you, I just did a week ago, we did our like home league dynasty rookie draft. We always do it late. And it's not super flex and not tight end premium. Pitts went with the 102. Like, the cost has been high all year, but I don't know. It's like you got to get him now. Otherwise, you may never have him.
Never.
All right. What does that put me up with? 109? Is that right? Can I count right?
Yes. Sorry, guys.
109. So the quarterbacks are gone. Najee's gone. Pitts is gone. Chase is gone. I'm going to take Jalen Waddle here. Jalen Waddle was my wide receiver 2 coming into the draft. I like the landing spot in Miami. I like bringing him back, pairing him with Tua. I think they can be very, very good together. I think just the combination of top-end speed, acceleration, I don't think this is Henry Ruggs at all, where you know Waddle's going to get asked to go out there and be just a deep threat for the Dolphins. I think he's going to be involved, you know, pretty consistently in the underneath and intermediate stuff. I think he's going to be a big piece of their passing game this year. I really do. I think, especially with Will Fuller missing week 1, but I think it's going to be those two guys predominantly. And I think he could be a really strong fantasy wide receiver for quite some time there.
I dig it. Definitely love me some Waddle. It took me, I think, 2 joint practices and 1 preseason game to get not even get back on. I've always been on Devontae Smith bandwagon, but like it took me 2 practices and a preseason game to remember how filthy Devontae Smith is. So I'm taking Devontae Smith here. Oh my good God. If he doesn't hit, it's because of injuries. That is the only way. He is quite literally probably already a top 5 most uncoverable player in the NFL. That is extremely bold. There you go. I'm throwing that hot take out there. It's because the pepper's coming. The pepper is coming. So I'm throwing hot takes now. He's going to be incredible. Incredible, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, that if it doesn't work out, it's likely only going to be because of injury, because the skill set is kind of as refined as you could ask for it to be.
Absolutely.
100%. All right, Ryan, you're back up at 111 if my math works here.
Yeah, and I'm legit struggling at this pick because there's a drop-off right here, and the questions are doubling. I think I'm going to go Javonte Williams. I can't mess that injury like that for something coming out or serious where he's out a year. Williams is healthy. He's a good back. He fits their system. He's going to take over probably later rather than sooner, but it's probably going to be this year. And he'll have some fantasy relevance right away. And when he takes over that starting role in that offense with Justin Herbert and all them, he should kill it, man. Like, he's going to get a ton of red zone opportunities once he wins that starting job because that offense moves the ball so well. And that's something you look for in a running back, and you can kind of hang your hat on. So I'm going to go with Williams there, reluctantly.
Yeah. I watched him, I think, for like five or six plays in the preseason. You ever notice when you like watch a guy and you're like, oh, I think he's fast, but then you see it on the screen after a while and you're like, oh, he's fast. I think he's going to start sooner rather than later. I was not on that train early.
I was in week 6 or 7.
6 or 7?
Week 6 or 7?
Week 6
or 7 I'm cool with. I'd be comfortable with that.
I think week 3 or 4, he should probably be the lead back by then.
That's kind of where I'm at on it, too. I think he's going to take that job from Melvin.
I think he pretty should be, but...
Can't fumble. Don't fumble, Javonte.
The thing is, we always get back to it, because it sucks we want to talk fantasy football. It's pass blocking. And Melvin Gordon can do that.
Yeah.
Like, Melvin Gordon's of that, and he's great. And he's stuck around so long for a reason. And that's a big one. So if Javonte Williams is a pass block, he's not going to get in. And it's going to make us all very, 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 very sad.
That's just disgusting. This year, though, long term, I feel good about Javonte Williams now.
Long term, yeah.
Same. I feel better about Javonte at this point than I did earlier on in the offseason where – it's not that I didn't like the landing spot per se, but I just, I don't want to say underwhelmed either. That's not really the right word, but I'm definitely perked up a little bit about it now after seeing him get involved. I think he's going to take that job early and kind of run with it. To round out round one here, I'll buy the injury dip. I'll take Travis Etienne. It's sad that he won't play this year. We touched on it last week. It's a bummer that we won't see him. Hopefully he can get fully healthy and recover. And if he can, I think he's a steal at 112. You know, it's unfortunate. But if you're picking this late in round one, maybe you got a good enough roster to hold you over for the year that you can afford to sit on ETN. But hopefully we can see him fully healthy next year, explosive like we've come to know him as a player. James Robinson can have this year. We'll give him this year. But I think ETN, when he comes back, it's still a player that they invested first round draft capital into and should be a big part of that offense moving forward. So before we hit round two, just real quick, first round was Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Jamar Chase, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Javonte Williams, and Travis Etienne. And Eric, you're kicking us off round two with the 201.
Okay, so I have Bateman and Moore, Elijah Moore, and Terrace Marshall. Those three have had very, very good practice reports in training camp. If it wasn't for Bateman getting hurt, I think I'd be going Bateman here. But now it's down between my guy and Matt's guy, and it's not like I don't like Terrace Marshall. I feel like if he listens to this, like, oh, I talked you into Terrace Marshall. It's a go time.
Matt's only like Terrace Marshall for like 3 days max.
No, he's like he's been on him from the start. I hate. I'll take Terrace Marshall. God, he got me. He got me. He got me to come around. I love what I'm hearing from Terrace Marshall. I love what I'm seeing from Terrace Marshall, too. He just, he looks the part. Looks the part. I'm not saying Elijah Moore doesn't. Darn you, Jets, for not playing him in the preseason. I know he had an injury for like one of those weeks, but like still. Terrace Marshall. I hope I'm wrong on this, and I can go back and be like, damn it, Matt, cost me in the rookie draft. It doesn't exist.
All right, Foss, you're up. 202.
I was debating between those exact same two players. I'm not going to say which I'm going to pick either way, but I'm going to take Rashad Bateman. Obviously, I love Bateman coming out. And everybody's hesitant because he came to Baltimore. Guess what? That offense is going to open up a little bit more. It has to, because their offensive coordinator's job depends on it. And that's all there is to it. He has gotten rave reviews. When you have all pro corners talking about how he's roasting them, maybe not in those exact terms, but talking about how hard he's been to cover,
we'll and what a problem terms. He's been. He's roasting him. We'll use those terms. He's roasting him. We saw the Twitter clips.
He may have roasted Marlowe once, but like he's getting it in against. He beat him on jump ball too for a touchdown, but he's beating people consistently, and he's had a connection with Lamar right away. So I'm in on him, man. He's the first like prototypical wide receiver one they had. You can't judge a team on something they've never had before, and I'm going to take that chance because of the skill set.
All right, so I think to start round two here, we're all going to get guys we're after, because I can't let Elijah Moore pass me at 203. Like, I just can't let that happen to me with the Homer Jets fan in me. But aside from that, Elijah Moore was dominating training camp before the quad injury, and it seems like more than anything, they've just been like super cautious in bringing him back. They asked Saleh about it the other day, and his answer was more so like, yeah, you know, but he's going to be out there week one, but let's take it easy with this guy. Every beat reporter for the Jets, and not that the bar is super high with rookie wide receivers for the Jets over recent history, but all the reports out of training camp were saying this guy is different. Like, we haven't seen a rookie wide receiver come into camp and do things like this. And again, not like he's going against the best corners in the world either, but it seems like him and Zach Wilson were developing an early rapport. It looks like he is going to be out there and involved early and often. I think he's a guy that Corey Davis, I think, will be the target monster for the Jets this year. Elijah Moore, despite not being like prototypical in size or anything like that, can become this team's number one wide receiver in the not so distant future. Like, I think as early as next year, this is a guy that we can talk about being a real threat for 1,100, 1,200 yards and scoring from any spot on the field. So, early in round two, I think that's a dynamic player I'm happy to take a chance on. And Eric, you're back up at 204.
Big agree on Moore. I'm going to take Rondale Moore here. I'm just going to keep the Moore train going. I like the way they got him a lot of targets. They seem to be keying in on that. I know they do have a deep depth chart at wide receiver, so it might not pop year one, but I do believe in Rondale Moore. I think he's got some Steve Smith in him, man. If he can stay healthy, I really think he has some Steve Smith in him. And if he stays healthy, then he does have Steve Smith in him, because he's a short king. He's a short king is what he is. Us 5'9" Niners need to stick together. Short king, Rondale Moore.
Foss, you're back.
We call 5'9" tall where I come from. By the way, Vernon Davis, 4.38.
Whew. Yeah. Moving.
I mean, flying.
It's unreal. That is unreal.
I'm taking Trey Sermon here. He has the opportunity to be the lead back in a really good rush offense. He's shown all preseason so far that he belongs there. He moves the change. Mostert hasn't been conventionally healthy. And even if he is, they've rotated running backs. And Mostert's not a guy you want to have 20 carries. Sermon is. They're going to work him in. And slowly but surely, as the season goes, we're going to see more of Sermon. And when they're playing games where they're in the lead with, he's going to be a hammer. Like, any game I think they're going to win, I'm really comfortable plugging and playing him right away. I like Trey Sermon. The upside for the future is great.
I'm back up at 206 here. And to me, this is like, there's that cliff in round one. And this is kind of where another tier kind of breaks off in these rookie drafts for me. The guys that are really easy for me to go ahead and pick are all pretty much gone. So I'll take a guy that I know we all like and I've been loud about all offseason. I'm going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown here. I think that I've been happy to take Amon-Ra in this spot pretty much all offseason. I think he is still going to be very, very involved in his rookie year. And I think with that opportunity, he should lock himself into a wide receiver job on that team for the future as well. I just love the player. I do. I think he does everything pretty dang well and not a lot real bad. And I think those guys find their way onto the field. So I'll take Amon-Ra St. Brown there. And Eric, you are back up with the 207.
Sure. 207.
I think that's right.
It was between Amon-Ra for me and this next guy that I'm going to take Ramondre Stevenson. I'm not what's the word I'm looking for here? There's a lot of people on fantasy Twitter right now that are jumpy to say like, oh, it's his job. No, it's not, guys. Come on. Mm-hmm. They have a very deep running back depth chart, and I don't know I'm sure he'll play this year, but I'm not as jumpy to put him right as the starter. But it will come because James White's a free agent after this year. JJ Taylor's undrafted. Damien Harris, I think next year is his last year on his deal. So, I mean, Ramondre going forward with that offensive line, yeah, I'll tie myself to that.
All right, Foss, that brings you back up with 208.
I'm going to go Michael Carter. I think he has a role once he gets fully healthy in that offense. He's got to be the pass-catching back there. He's shown he's dynamic on the backfield. He has big play potential. He could be a long-term RB3 fantasy, maybe with RB2 upside, which this late in the draft, I know we kind of want to shoot for ceiling, but he's a safe pick who you want because you want guys who are going to be on the field, and he's going to be there this year and probably the foreseeable future, even if they bring another back. Worst-case scenario, he's used like Tyreek Cohen, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, totally fair. At 209, I'm going to take Kenny Gainwell. I think Kenny Gainwell is a player that kind of had no business falling as far as he did in the NFL draft. And watching the Eagles in preseason, Gainwell's got juice, man. I think people forgot a little bit after he opted out of that year and kind of the weird pre-draft process again this year. But Kenny Gainwell looks like a guy to me that can come in and take some work from Miles Sanders year one. Like, I think he can come in, take some passing down work, and he looked fast and explosive running between the tackles. I think this is a guy that is involved year one, and I don't think it's crazy to see a scenario where that becomes either like a full-blown timeshare sort of thing. Like, I don't think Miles Sanders has an absolute stranglehold on that job where it's impossible for Gainwell to take some work from him. So for somebody with his explosive ability and skill set, combined with the fact that I think he can be involved in year one and I don't have to just wait, you know, the year and hope to see more next year, I'll take a shot on Kenny Gainwell there. And Eric, you are back up with 210.
That Eagles offense is actually very good. I'm putting it together now with all the players. I'm like, holy crap, they have a very good offense, actually. This is my last pick of the mock draft. You wrote it down already. You already wrote. I didn't even check that. I'm literally going down the list here, and I'm like, oh, you know, Nico Collins. I'm looking at all the other guys to lead Eskridge, and I just see Tutu's name, and I'm like, oh, it's got to be Tutu Atwell. I have to take Tutu Atwell, my beautiful plastic bag. I'm Tutu, the greatest player of all time. Put size him up for his jacket. It's a kid's medium, and he'll be there. He'll be there in 10 to 15. I'll see you in Canton.
The Dynasty Draft from Noted Tutu Atwell podcast.
That's my
huge guy. Fan. Huge fans.
All right, Boss, you're back up at 211 with your last pick.
I think Kadarius Toney. I've said it. I think he has a role in that offense. They're going to dump him the ball off. He's really good at running after catch, and that's something that gets people on the field. Especially wide receivers. If he plays the slot there, works as a dump off, being they don't have a real tight end on Giants, it'd be a big role for him. He could be a 120 target guy, and it's not out of the woodwork because they have a bad defense and they're going to throw a lot. somebody has to catch it other than Barkley, because Galladay is also hurt. Like, he's coming in. They draft. He has the draft capital. Something's there, and I'm willing to take the chance that I'm not an NFL GM, and this guy went as high as he did in the draft and has a role there.
Don't call Gettleman a real GM. At this point, it's a why not. It's a why not. We're at what is this, 211? It's why not. He's a first-round draft pick. Take a shot.
He's like a half a GM.
Half. He's half.
At 212 to round things out, I will take Nico Collins. I think Nico at the end of round two or early round three, if you can have him there, is a worthwhile pick every time. I think he's going to be able to find his way onto the field with probably not very good, is a generous way to put it, but probably not very good quarterback play this season. But I think with the lack of other options around him, aside from Brandon Cooks, he'll be involved this year. He's got crazy physical ability, and I think he'll do enough to kind of lock himself into one of those starting receiver spots for next year and moving forward. So I'll take the shot on Nico to round things out at 212. So round two was Terrace Marshall, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, Trey Sermon, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ramondre Stevenson, Michael Carter, Kenny Gainwell, Tutu Outwell, shout out Tutu, Kadarius Toney, and Nico Collins. Do you guys have any quick thoughts to wrap this up or put a bow on it before we get on out of here till next week?
Is there anybody who didn't get drafted who you guys like? Because I still really like Dwayne Askridge, who didn't make it in our first two rounds, because he's not going to have a role in Seattle offense in the slot. Anyone else you guys like who did get there?
I still like Chuba Hubbard. I think I was a little more in on Chuba than a lot of people pre-draft. I know he's behind McCaffrey, but I think in the event that McCaffrey does get hurt, you go from elite handcuff to somebody that steps right in and becomes like a very, very easily relevant fantasy play without question. Yeah. We saw it happen with Mike Davis a year ago. So if you told me I can get Chuba early round three, I'd be pretty satisfied with that. Josh Palmer would be the other one for me.
I got Jarrett Patterson and Kylan Hill. I feel good about those two.
Yeah, I like Kylan Hill.
I don't even know you anymore.
Why?
You didn't bring up Pat Freiermuth. That's your boy.
Oh, yeah, okay. There's a lot of guys that we could have. We definitely.
There's a lot of talent left still.
Yeah, this is good. I feel good about this draft class. I feel really good about this draft class. Don't let anyone be like, oh, this is a terrible, terrible fantasy draft class. Shut up, people. This is a positive podcast.
Overwhelming positivity. Lots of optimism. All the quarterbacks are hitting. Tutu made it into the second round. Everything's firing on all cylinders. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room, presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We will be back with more of the Dynasty Draft Room next week, but be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Blitz on Thursday to get you caught up on all the college fantasy football needs that you need to know. And we'll be back next week.
Later, taters.